waiting for the green light from Sam. Oh, praise God. Everyone, welcome to this church service. And I would just like to start off by inviting Jesus to be here as our special guest. I would like to ask the Holy Ghost to quicken every one of us in our hearts, our eyes, our ears. And truly, this is not about me at all. This is about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I like what D.L. Moody said. And if you don't mind, I'm a little bit raw. I'm not polished. Pretty much what you see is what you get. And I have a lot of improvements to make. God only knows. I don't even think I deserve to be here, even to speak right now. There are many people out there who could do so much better than me. But I just happen to be here, and I happen to be available, and the Lord was gracious enough to allow me to share, I guess. And I'm in my feeble attempt. I'm going to try to bring forth some words from the Lord as best I know how. And I know I like the way D.L. Moody put it. I'm just going to kind of read an excerpt here. It says, "A good many preachers say I am lowering the pulpit. I am glad I am. I am trying to get it down to the level of men's hearts. If I wanted to hit Chicago, I would not put a cannon on the top of the building and fire into the air. Too many preachers fire into the air. If God has given you a message, go and give it to the people as God has given it to you. It is a stupid thing to try to be eloquent. And I am far from eloquent. Actually, I can do nothing without the Lord's help. And so I'm just going to ask that you would be gracious to hear me out. And I wouldn't blame you for bolting to the nearest door or exit at any time. And I really wouldn't blame you. But I'm just going to do all I can to do as I what I feel the Lord has given me. And I'm going to bring forth try to bring forth a message about, and the name of the message that I'm hoping to get through here is called They Paid a Price. And before I read a little bit of a allegory story here called The Bridge Keeper, I would like to go to John 3:16, as I think it's appropriate to always open up with Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And, you know, you have people out in Washington, D.C. You have people all over the world filling your ears with lie after lie after lie. You have people in the world who are trying to tell you that this is the way, that I have the answer, that no, if you go this way or if you go that way, We can fix these problems. We can solve these problems. I don't think that Obama has the answers. Anyone who would take 1,000+ people across the world on your and my account, and we pay for it, is not a responsible person. I think that he's a man of lies. There's no truth in him. And I believe that we need to speak out. We need to shout it from the housetops. We need to proclaim the word of the Lord as we know it in the King James Bible. As the Lord gives us the grace, the light to see and to hear, so should we proclaim the word of God. Good to see you, Vicky Jo, and all those that showed up here. Praise God. I was telling everyone here before you showed up that I would not blame you or anyone here to bolt to the nearest door at any time during this message, because honestly, I don't have much that I can give anyone at all. It's only the Lord Jesus who's able to help us, any one of us. And I just pray that the Lord could use this somehow. Here, I just want to read a story here to start out before I go into Genesis. There was once a bridge which spanned a large river. During most of the day, the bridge sat with its length running up and down the river, parallel with the banks, allowing ships to pass freely by on both sides of the bridge. But at a certain time each day, a train would come by and the bridge would be turned sideways 90 degrees across the river, allowing the train to cross it. A switchman sat in a small shack to one side of the river where he operated the controls to turn the bridge and the lock and lock it into place as the train crossed. One evening, as the switchman was waiting for the last train of the day, he looked off into the distance through the dimming twilight and caught the sight of the train lights. He stepped into the controls and waited until the train was within a specified distance. When he was to turn the bridge, he turned the bridge into position, but to his horror, he found the locking control on the far side of the bridge did not work. If the bridge was not securely locked, it would wobble back and forth at the ends when the train came into it, causing the train to jump the track and crash into the river. Worse still, this was a passenger train with many people aboard. Instinctively, he ran across the bridge to the other side where the manual lock and he could apply to hold the bridge tracks in place. He would have to hold the lever firmly as the train crossed. He would hear the rumble of the train now as he took hold of the river of the lever and leaned backward to apply his full weight to the lever. Locking the bridge, he kept applying the pressure to keep the mechanism locked. Many lives depended on this man doing the right thing. Then coming across the bridge from the direction of his control shack, he heard a sound that made his blood run cold. "Daddy, where are you?" His four-year-old son was crossing the bridge to look for him. His first impulse was to cry out to his son, "Run, run." But the train was too close. The tiny legs would never make it across the bridge in time. The man almost left his lever run and grab his son to carry him to safety. But he realized he could not get back to the lever in time. Either the people on the train or his son must die. He had only a moment to make his decision. The train sped safely and swiftly on its way, and no one on board was even aware of the tiny broken body thrown mercilessly into the river by the onrushing train. Nor were they aware of the pitiful figure of the sobbing man drenched in tears, heaving sobs, still clinging tightly to the locking lever long after the train had passed. They didn't see him walking home more slowly than he ever walked to tell his wife how their son had brutally died, that others may live. If you can imagine the emotions which went through this man's heart, you can begin to understand the grief-stricken feelings of our Father in heaven when he sacrificed his son to bridge the gap between us and eternal life. Is it any wonder that he caused the earth to tremble and the skies to darken when his son died? How do you think God feels as we speed along through life without giving a thought to what he did for us by sending his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins so we could have eternal life? Well, that's somebody who paid a price. That is the Lord Jesus Christ who died to save each and every one of us, and God who sent his only son. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice anyone could ever hope to pay. And with us, I've always felt like a faith that cannot be trusted or tested cannot be trusted. And I've always believed that. When your faith is tested and tried and you're brought through trials and tribulations and you go through all kinds of manners of evil, and you go through many things in your life, but that is what's called a testing ground. Those are the proving grounds. And at that point, your faith is tested and tried like silver and gold. And all the dross is removed. And with that, I would like to open to Genesis 15:14. This is about men and women who have paid the price to live a life pleasing to God. My question here is, are we willing to pay the price? All those listening online and all those who perchance might at one point someplace down the road hear this, are you willing to pay the price? And it says here in Genesis 15:14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall they come out with great substance. If we go to Genesis 22:7-18, I wanted to read also here, 7-18, bear with me. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire, the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So that they went with them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. And Abraham, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now that man paid a price. Abraham paid a price, a dear price. He was going to kill his son, and he meant it. But God stayed his hand and blessed him for it. If we go to page 25 in Genesis, that would be chapter 25, 31 to 34. I want to go up a few to 29 to 34. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's a heavy price to pay, isn't it? That's a price that I'm not willing to pay. I'm not willing to give my birthright away. I'm not willing to compromise my faith, my salvation. I'm not willing, and I'm not ready, and I don't want ever to do such a thing. I don't think anyone here should or would. Anyone within listening of this message, I am quite sure that you feel the same way. And all those that might listen in one day down the road, who might be at a crossroads in your life, I would say this, that not all the money and the gold in the world would be worth taking up for the sake of your salvation or for anything on this earth. The most important thing in our life is that we have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and that our walk is steady, and that we continue looking to Him. He is the author and the finisher of our life. And truly, when all is said and done, all that's going to matter is what we've done for the Lord. Chapter 29 in Genesis 25 through 28. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. That's another example of somebody paying a price. Jacob, his whole life was filled with one trial after another. And later he had I've lost my train of thought on that one. Forgive me. I'm going to go to chapter 35. And here, chapter 35, 17 through 20, I want to read. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have a son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. But I thought it was interesting to note that here Rachel was the one who took those idols away from Laban's tent. And she paid a price for that. I believe that because of that, the Lord cut her life short. And she gave only 2 sons. But yet, in spite of that, the Lord was gracious enough to bless him with 2 sons from her. That would make a big difference. Joseph and Benjamin. Now, if we go to Genesis 37, I was wanting to read 24 through 32. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren was content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? They sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Then there passed the Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. When I look at, where was this here? Is it Judah? And Judah came back. Let me see here. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it unto their father, and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there for now. And then go to 39, Genesis 39, 7 through 23. Joseph paid a price. And not only did Joseph pay a price, but his brothers paid a heavy price. And 39, 7 through 23. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what it with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in him in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left his garment with me, and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her, until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in and unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So there again, we see a heavy price that was paid by Joseph because he refused to commit fornication and adultery with his master's wife. Now, if we go to page 42, we will begin to see how things unfold. Now, Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, and said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down hither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among these that came to the famine, was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down before themselves, before him with their faces to the earth. And if we think back, one of the reasons why Joseph was put in that pit to begin with, this is by God's design, because he had a dream that all his brethren would bow down before him, and they were offended at that. But it was all God's plan to bring Israel to safety, and he used his own brothers, and what they thought were evil, God meant it for good. And so they threw him into the pit, not knowing that years later, the Lord would use this very gateway to save their lives, to save their families, that they would have a place to go in a time of trouble, drought. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. This is 8. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. See, Joseph wanted to see where their hearts were at. Joseph knew the wickedness of Simeon and Levi. He knew that their hearts were not right over the years. But he wanted to see if they had changed. And so he put them to a test. He brought them, here it says, and they said unto him, nay, my lord, to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. And they didn't know who Joseph was, obviously. This was a time where Joseph was in Egypt. He was the governor of all Egypt. And they didn't recognize him because the way he was brought up and the way he dressed, he was a different man. But they threw him into the pit when he was just a young boy. And the Lord was with him. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. Can you imagine that? How Joseph, what he might have been thinking at that point. How his brothers had knowingly deceived his father Jacob. They were jealous of Joseph, and they threw him into the pit. And now they were coming for help. Now they needed help. And Joseph was there for them. But they were at his mercy. And Joseph said unto him, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Joseph wanted to see where their hearts were at this point. He wanted to see, okay, what will you do with your youngest brother? Will you turn on him? Will you forsake him? Will you deceive me? Will you try to deceive your father again? Where are your hearts? Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And ye put them all together into ward 3 days, which was a holding place. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. And but your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. I think about how Joseph might have been thinking and feeling as he was listening to their brothers go back and forth arguing, and how that they felt this pain of guilt, this distress, the regret. It was a hard price to pay. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with him, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Simeon was a rural instigator back when Joseph was put into the pit. It was Simeon and Levi who were the rural instigators and who encouraged everyone to throw him into the pit to die. It was interesting to see now how that Joseph pointed out Simeon, the ringleader, to be held in prison while they went down back to Jacob into Canaan. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened the sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Wow, can you see the what the Lord was doing to their hearts? Wow. The Lord was refining them. The Lord was bringing them through a sure test and a trial to prove them, to prove their worth as sons of Jacob, to prove their manhood, their integrity. Do they have any honesty in their hearts? And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told them all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And he said unto them, we are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Wow, a day of reckoning, a fork in the road, a time to realize that this is a time in their lives where they have to be true to who they are, true to God, true to themselves, true to Jacob, that they were truly being tested here. And 43, bear with me. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Wow. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, but we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be a surety for him. It's interesting to note that Judah, who I believe was the second oldest under Reuben at that time, that the Lord's seed would be from the tribe of Judah, and that how Judah offered himself as a surety for him. I thought that was interesting to note in the Word of God. Of my hand thou shalt require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered surely, now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so, now do this. Take of the best of the fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, and take double money in your hand. You see the integrity of Jacob. he was willing to pay the double, knowing that he didn't know that Joseph placed that money back in their bags. But he was a man of honest integrity, and he wanted to do right, and he paid double the money when they went back to Egypt to pay for their grain. And was wrought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother. And Benjamin, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, I can imagine what was going through his mind at that point. And he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." Can you imagine what the thoughts were going through these 10 brothers, now 11, that the governor of Egypt wanted to dine with them? What made them so special? Why were they allotted and afforded this luxury? And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me soon." And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men unto Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought unto Joseph's house, and they said, "Benjamin," or they said, "because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, we are brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and for asses and our asses." And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, "O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came in into the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand." And this is where things get real interesting. "And the other money have we brought down to the hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in the sack, in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them." And the man brought the men unto Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave them their asses' provender. And they made ready. The present against Joseph came at noon, and they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And there again they bowed themselves. And Joseph had two dreams about his brothers bowing unto him, and this was the second one. And it came to pass, when they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him onto the earth, and he asked them of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. In other words, they paid their respects unto him. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother, of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. Wow. This was a time of truth. He was about to reveal himself, who he was, to his brethren. This was a momentous time for all of them, a time that they would never forget. And Joseph made haste, for the bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on him, they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before. And Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. So they marveled at how that the men have, they sat the brothers according to their birth, oldest to the youngest, youngest to the oldest. And Joseph knew them, but they did not know yet. But they were about to find out. And he commanded the stewards in his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put their man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. Whoa. And the corn money, as he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light and the men were sent away, they and their asses, and when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the stewards, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them and spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of the Lord's house silver or gold? And with whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let them die, and we also will be my Lord's bondman. And he said, now also let it be according to thy words. He that whom it is found shall my servant, and ye shall be blameless. When they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. Wow. And he searched and began with the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and landed every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for it was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? In other words, know or find it out. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Well, that was the ultimate time to be vulnerable, to be subdued, to be had, to realize now they were caught and there was no going back. And yet, all of this was to prove their sincerity, to prove their integrity. And would they, in fact, now this time, look out for one another? Would they take the time now to have heart and compassion on their younger brother and not only think for themselves or for them or about themselves, but rather they thought about their father. They thought about their youngest son, their brother, Benjamin. And the Lord was proving these men because they were all going to be tribes one day. And with them, the legacy of Israel. Who is the true Israel? We are. And Joseph said unto them, what did it this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, and how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let it not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. So you can see how Judah, the same line that Jesus would be born, was willing to give himself, was willing to die instead, or to be captured, or to be a slave, rather than Benjamin, because Benjamin would have brought down the gray hairs of Jacob if he had been taken and left there alone. And Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in thy Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto the Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for he should leave his father, his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. Well, Judah was really laying it on the line, wasn't he? For once in his life, He was taking ownership and responsibility for his actions. He was taking the responsible part of all 10 and 11 of them. He was standing up, standing in the gap, willing to be taken, willing to be used, willing to become their slave in the place of Benjamin, that he might save the gray hairs of Jacob from falling down, and Jacob from being so bereaved and grieved over the loss of yet another son. And thy servant my father asked and said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, the mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant because became surety for the lad unto thy father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with him with me? Lest, peradventure, I see the evil that shall come to my father. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. This is a moment, the defining moment in the life of Joseph, in the life of his 10 brothers. This is the moment that changed the direction of everything. And they stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you to posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not that you have sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and mine eyes, and my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell your father and all your of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brethren Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and they that his brethren talked with him, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. Oh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, laid your breasts, and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt, and your little ones, and your wives, and bring thou your father, and come. And regard not your stuff, for all the good of the land of Egypt is yours. Well, that's how the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to not think about tomorrow, not think about the clothes that we wear, the places we're going to go, the food we're going to eat. The Lord wants us to just give our lives unto Him. The Lord wants us to give all that we have. The Lord wants us to not worry and fear about what might come tomorrow. But the Lord wants us to have faith and to have hope and to have trust in Him, that He will work all things out to the good of those who love Him. The Lord is going to help each and every one of us. And all we have to do is place our faith, our hope, our trust, and our confidence in the Lord's ability in His hand to deliver us in spite of what we are going through, in spite of what we see, in spite of what we hear. The lions, the dragons will roar, but God, in His still small voice, will tell us to go here or to go there. Open this door and close that one. Do this and do that. And it is by the Lord's leading that we will make it. It is by the Lord's help that we will have any help at all. For without God's help, there was no hope. It is the Lord Himself who will deliver us in that day. And all we have to do is trust. Faith and trust. A faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. I have only a few minutes left, and in so doing, I ask that you just bear with me one more time as I read another excerpt from a book here, and this is in the days of the Civil War. It's called Christian Friend, Don't Quit. Major William M. Meserve was a Union officer in the 35th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry. He was not a big man, but he was a strong in character. In spite of personal hardships, inadequate equipment, scant rations, exhausting marches, bouts with jaundice, and the harsh life of a soldier in the field, he survived. And he wrote in his diary, "My father had told me when I enlisted that it would be impossible for me to endure the hardship of the campaign life. Of medium stature and slender form and never inured to a rough life, he seemed to reason well. Yet I saw physical stalwarts full of fallout every day while I was never failed to hold out to the end. I wouldn't drop out, nor did I in after days. Sometimes I nearly overcome, but I never quit. And that, my friends, is what we should never do, is quit. We have a vapor of time in our life to live for God. We ought to make it count. Let us have faith while there is still time to have faith. Let us walk with God and trust Him while there is still time. And let us put all our hope, faith, trust, and confidence in the words of God and His Spirit. He will lead us and He will guide us. Amen. And that's it. And maybe we could go into a song service. But before we do, I would ask all those who are listening online and all those who are here to pray and ask God to show you, lead you, guide you. We all have issues in our lives and we all need help, but we all need to hear from God. For He's the way maker and He'll help us. So we'll close and we'll sing. And please remember, before you leave these doors, to spend time with the Lord and ask Him to show you. We all need help. We all need guidance, and He will help. So let's go to a song. And bear with me as I I don't know how I made it through this, but the Lord helped me. Here we go.